Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Cranky Tales. This episode is quite close to my heart because we're going to talk about enduro again. And to be more specific, we're going to talk about the world's hardest hard enduro rally, and that's Red Bull Romaniacs. This is actually one of the things that got me into motorcycling, like at all. It was my second ever contest that I got to go to as a spectator or as a staff. And so there are a lot of things sort of documenting a trip to Romaniacs or what it's like to go to Romaniacs to participate. And well, the end conclusion usually is that it's, well, hard, really goddamn hard. And I mean, fair enough. It takes a lot of skill level. It takes a lot of physical preparation in order to be able to not only to start in Romaniacs, but to actually finish Romaniacs, like any of the classes. I mean, there is no easy class in Romaniacs, right? It's just some classes are a little less brutal than the others, but even the easy classes are not easy. But speaking of easy, one part of such a contest that almost nobody gets to see is the organization behind the scenes. Now, to give you an idea, Red Bull Romaniacs, so whenever one edition of Red Bull Romaniacs finishes, the next day, they're already starting to prepare for next year. So it's this contest basically takes a year of organization with full-time people, full-time track managers, people that scout different trails here in Romania. And that's just for the track preparation part. There is a huge part on sort of the back end, a part that's not seen nearly as much. That's kind of the logistics part. And here's how I got to be a part of the staff in Red Bull Romaniacs at quite a young age, but the age is irrelevant here. So in this video, what I'm going to do is it's going to be a bit of a story time of what I did and how is it like to be in the staff of Red Bull Romaniacs? How is it like for an entire contest to depend on you in one way or another? If I were to summarize the entire episode, stressful, but amazing. So that being said, I guess it's time to jump right in. I mean, the first question anyone would probably have is, what did I do as a staff? I mean, in a contest of such magnitude, there are a lot of roles one might be able to take. And so mine was actually of an official timekeeper. So every contest, be it enduro, be it track racing, whatever it is, they need to have the leaderboards at the end of the day, and those don't just magically appear. No, there are teams that their only sort of purpose is to build these leaderboards and to time the contestants. And the thing is, so the way timing usually works in Red Bull Romaniacs is I have a large-ish team with some scanners that will scan a chip underneath the number of a rider. Now, that basically means that whenever you reach a checkpoint or the end or whatever, you have to stop. Somebody will take the scanner, scan your RFID chip, then they'll let you go through. In an hour that in a race that takes like 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, that little 5-second stop is really irrelevant. And it's irrelevant especially because like everyone has those 4 to 5 second stops. But there is one part of the contest where you can't really do that, and that's the prologue. Now, if you don't know what the prologue in Romaniacs is, it's basically the first stage, and it's being held in the city center of Sibiu. It's a city in Romania, in Transylvania. And the prologue is basically an obstacle course. It's pretty short. The top riders do it in like a minute, if a minute. It's really technical. We have incredibly hard to get over obstacles. But at the same time, it's a hectic race. And the final race for the prologue is basically tens of riders going to this track at the same time for 15 minutes. So you could imagine that the first riders might be able to do 15, 20 laps. Now, when you have such mayhem, you can't stop every rider in order to scan their RFID ticket. It's impossible. I mean, let's be honest. But what you can do is hire a team like the one I was part of. And basically, we had a remote timing system, right? Where the riders would still have some chips on their numbers and on their bikes. But at the same time, we would also have some external antennas and like infrared scanners and things like that. I'm not going to go into exactly how it works. It's not relevant. But this is how I got into it. I was basically part of the official timing team of Red Bull Romaniacs. That now that I'm saying it, I should have appreciated more when I was doing it. But either way, that's kind of irrelevant now. But yeah, so I was part of this team, and we had to time the prologue. Of course, first of all, just timing it starts a bit before, because we need to send all the RFID chips in order for them to be stuck on the motorcycles and on the race numbers. But then, and when we got there, we like scouted the course and everything. And then it's race day, right? First of all, you have qualifications. Those are really chill. I mean, you have one rider at a time. They started like 15 or 30 seconds apart. You mainly only have one rider at one time passing through your gate, so it's not a big deal. So the thing with this timing system is that, yes, like in theory, they do automatically catch riders as they go through the gates, right? For the start-finish gate. But you still have to be really careful. You have to have a lot of backups, both manual backups and other types of backups, video backups, whatever it is. You need to have backups of backups of backups in order to ensure that you will have accurate results. You never want to crown like the wrong winner and it to be your fault. That would be really, really bad. But, qualifying went really smoothly. I mean, not many riders on the track. It was really easy to keep track of different riders. All good. But then it came down to the main race. And this one was something, let me tell you. It was quite something. So the thing is, the main prologue race, if in the qualifying people started one at a time, here they started, I think there were 5 or 10 at a time. And every 10 or 15 seconds, a new row of 5 to 10 people was going to start, and so on and so forth. Now you can see how this can get really hectic in a course that's no wider than 4 to 5 meters, that has a lot of really hard obstacles, jumps, huge logs, rock pits, chains, even a lot of different things and a lot of different obstacles that you have to navigate through. So it's not a wide track. There are a lot of people. It's basically skirmish. It's mayhem. It's call it however you want. But basically, it's amazing to watch, right? It's a show for sure. But as a rider, I would honestly be pretty darn terrified. And as a timekeeper, man, like keeping track that and making sure the system actually works in parameters and as expected, when you have in every 1 second, like at least 5 riders going by and you have to like sort of keep track and note their racing numbers on the bikes, it's hectic. And we had people that did manual backup. So they like manually wrote on paper or on computers numbers as they went by in order to be able to double check things if there was any sort of issue afterwards, or if it was any sort of if anyone decided to contest our results. So we needed to keep backups, and the manual guys, I mean, we had to have one person that was just staring at a sheet of paper writing, another person that was looking and dictating, because the riders went by way too quickly in front of you, and you weren't able to read a number and write it at the same time. So you had to have someone who dictated you, who like was able to see the number and dictate it while you were writing it on a sheet of paper. It was pretty madness. And the thing is, it's also hard because you have like 50 bikes around you at all times revving their engines up. It gets pretty loud, as you might imagine. Like really, really, really loud. And so it's hectic. That's the truth. It is hectic. But it is amazing, because once that is done, the stress basically started for me. I mean, I usually was a bit stressed before a race would start. During the race, you don't have time to be stressed. You don't. But after the race, when I had to like give in the results and like the standings, that's when I was the most stressed, because if there was one time you could F it up, that was definitely the time. And don't get me wrong, it would not have been a good time at all to fuck shit up. But yeah, everything went well. The prologue went well. People got their times. Everything was good. People were pleased. So the prologue was over. Usually our job would have been over. Well, not really, because in that specific edition of Red Bull Romaniacs, we were actually hired to do shadow timing for the other team for the other stages, right? So in Romaniacs, you had the prologue, and then day 1 to 4 of off-road days of actual hard enduro riding throughout the forest. And so basically what we had to do was go usually at the finish line of all of these stages, set up camp over there, track all the riders that went through, and then yeah, they give the guys a list in order for them to be able to like double check their times with our times and make sure that everything is okay, and then that the results are accurate and that everyone got a proper time, right? And so it sounds good, but you have to realize that these destinations can be pretty far apart, and the distance between riders can be like huge. What I'm trying to say is that after the first prologue day, and that we went to bed, of course, didn't sleep much. I think we slept like 3 or 4 hours. Then we had to wake up at like 5 a.m. because we had to drive 100 and something kilometers to the finish line of another day. So we woke up extremely early, like rendezvoused with the other teams, jumped into the car, and like 2 or 3 hours later, we were at the first day's finish point. You're still incredibly sleepy. You've definitely hadn't drank enough coffees at that point, and not for 3 or 4 hours of sleep. But yeah, we got there. We like unpacked everything, set up our antennas, set up our laptops, stuff like that. And then the waiting begins. And you'd better have a source of power, because man, it can be boring. So the thing is, now in a race with so many people, and so many classes and so many start times, you get riders that are really far apart. So if let's say the first guy, if like Graham Jarvis was to start at 8 a.m., the last rider of the bronze class or whatever would probably start at like 10:30 a.m. That's already 2 hours. Now, to give you a bit of a point of reference, if Jarvis started at 8 a.m., he would probably end the race at about 1 p.m. or 12 p.m., 1 p.m. But the last guy would end it at 7 p.m., sometimes 8 p.m. Some guys didn't even get to the finish line. I mean, a lot of people don't get to the finish line of Red Bull Romaniacs. And so it's a cruel wait, because you have to sit there in the sun, cold, whatever it is. You have to sit there from the very first guy that passes up until the very last guy. And you can't just like go around and take a walk, because you still need to be careful whenever people cross through, make sure the systems are operating right and things like that. Then you might get people that snatch different like antennas or cables or whatever. Things happen. But you do have to take into consideration extremely long waiting times during these periods of time. Don't get me wrong, it's amazing, and you get to talk to some riders at the same time that like come by to like check their times or something. And it can be an interesting experience at times, but it can also be pretty long. And yeah, that's what she said. No, but seriously though, and the thing is, the fact of the matter is that after a day like this, where you sat in the sun for like 12 hours or something stupid, you had to go to the place where you're supposed to sleep, right? And so, to give you an idea, from what I remember back then, out of the 4 off-road days, we only slept in the same hotel once or twice, I think. I hope I'm not mistaken, but we definitely slept in a lot of different places. And so, yeah, you would finish up at 7 p.m., let's say. Then you would need to gather all of your equipment, things like that, 8 p.m. Then you had to drive a bit until you found like the cabin or the hotel that you're supposed to sleep at. And once you get there, well, you do have to eat something like proper, and it's not just sandwiches and like chocolate croissants, and get to sleep. Well, except it's not as easy as just get to sleep. Because what we would do is we would help the other team set up their timing systems again. So, like, once we packed up everything and basically we were back at the hotel, the other people had to charge all of scanners, to set them charging, to clear data off of them, load different things. There's a lot of setup that you need to do when you're the timekeeper of such an event. And that setup can only happen after the last guy crossed the finish line and before the first guy starts the next day. And so when exactly does it happen? Well, that's sometimes between 9 p.m. and 11, 12, maybe 1 a.m., maybe even worse, 2 a.m., who knows? It depends. And so once you do that, you went to sleep to something like 12 or 1 a.m. And you woke up the next day at 5 again, because you need to go another 100 something or 200 kilometers up until your next checkpoint or the next finish line. And this thing just goes on and on and on for the entirety of the 4 off-road days. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to complain, right? Being staff of Red Bull Romaniacs is honestly pretty amazing. You feel part of something special. You feel like everyone's nice over there. You get to meet a lot of people. You get to make a lot of friends, a lot of other people from the staff, which is also amazing. So you get to build some nice relationships with different people. And yes, it's tiring. Yes, it's a lot of responsibility. But yes, it's 100% worth it, I would say. I mean, at least in my opinion. The experience was honestly amazing, and I would never change it for anything. You get to feel like you're part of something special. And wearing that Romaniacs badge, when the entire city is like flooded with Romaniacs, like everyone knows that, hey, yeah, you're the guy from, you're part of the staff on that important contest. Like you're sort of someone, you know, it gives you a feeling of being important. And I mean, to be honest, up to a point, you are important. If I didn't do my job, people wouldn't have times in the prologue, and you could imagine why it would be such a bad idea. And so it's being part of the Romania staff, and I mean, I think being part of any big hard enduro or extreme enduro contest staff can be an amazing experience. And if you can, in any way, shape, or form, like help or be part of something like this, I would strongly recommend and suggest you do it, because it's honestly amazing. I mean, I can't say enough good things about it, but. Yeah, this is basically the story of how it is or what it is like to be the official timekeeper of Red Bull Romaniacs, or how it used to be. I haven't done it in a few years now, but I did do it. I mean, I have pictures of me there as proof, so there's that. Red Bull Romaniacs is not the only actually big contest that I got to be a part of, and we might actually talk one day about what it's like being the staff or the timekeeper of another contest, which might say that as a timekeeper is even more special, and there are a lot more stories out of that one. And I'm talking about Red Bull Sea-to Sky, but that's for a completely different episode. It will air some point later. I mean, I try to keep my content a little bit varied with podcasts so that I don't bore some people. But you can definitely expect that. You can expect more content on different motorcycles that I think changed a lot of things. I mean, change the world is, I think it's a bit of a hyperbola, but definitely changed an industry or how we think of some bikes. And so it's, Yeah, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And as a shameless self-promotion, I just launched an episode on my main channel, my YouTube channel, Crank It. Just Google or type into YouTube, Crank It FZ6 or FZ6N, and you're gonna find my video. It's a sort of a cinematic review of my own bike, of my Yamaha FZ6N. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can listen to it on any sort of deep podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is. You can find it on YouTube at Crank It Tales. And also, please, please, please check my main YouTube channel, which is Crank It, which is the place where the main YouTube videos are going to come out. YouTube films. I prefer calling them films, actually. Also, you can check us out on Instagram. That's crank.it. Or on TikTok, where we are crank_it. Thanks a lot for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, we'll definitely talk soon. Definitely talk soon. Have a good one.